Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 29 through 34. And I've entitled this evening's message, "It is God who justifies." It is God who justifies. And what we're going to see in these passages of Scripture is that God did everything for you and I. Everything. He sent His only begotten Son so that we can be saved. He has supplied all of our needs according to His riches and glory. He has healed us when we become sick. He has clothed us. He has housed us. He took care of us from birth, from basically when we were conceived in our mother's womb. He's been with us this whole time. You have to understand and come to a conclusion that God is for us, not against us. That He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so let's look at these verses of Scripture and let's allow the Holy Spirit to have His way tonight. Amen? And so let's go with verse 29. And it reads, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Verse 30. "Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these also," what? "Justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified." Verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Good question, isn't that? Verse 32. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all." There it is right there. For us all. "How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Meaning, if He gave His only Son so that we could be saved, what are we crying about today? What is there not that God able to do for us? He can do all things for us. Can He? Can I get amen? Amen. Look at verse 33. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." This is where I got the topic. It is God who justifies. Say that with me. It is God who justifies. "Who is He who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Also," look at this, "who also makes intercession for us." I want to pause real quick on that. Even though there was a handful of us praying, He was praying for us. Can I get amen? Amen. Do you know when you go to bed at night, He's praying for you? When you're on your job, He's praying for you? What is Jesus praying for? That we can make it. That we can be overcomers. That we would continue to do His perfect will. So let's break down these verses and allow God to have His way tonight. So let's start with verse 29. Look at this. "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." And so, saints, believers are those people who God knew in advance. God's foreknowledge refers to His intimate knowledge of us and our relationship with Him based on His choosing us. Did you know He chose us? We didn't choose Him. Can I get amen? He chose us. And so let's parallel this verse of scripture to what I found in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this in verse 7, right up here on your screen. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood. So it was the blood that redeemed us. Amen? The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Did you know that God's gracious to you? He's gracious to me. Look at this, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. This was all a mystery. Come on, before you got saved, wasn't this all a mystery? You didn't understand the things of God. Matter of fact, none of us wanted to do anything about the things of God until he quickened us, made us come alive, and then he drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. It was the mystery of his will. According to what? To his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Let me just pause there for a moment. His good pleasure. Saints, I'm here to let you know that God saved us for his good pleasure. It takes great pleasure in him to see you coming to the saving knowledge and now worshiping him, praising him, serving him, serving one another, loving one another like he has loved us. Amen. He takes pleasure in that. This is what he saved us for. Because if he created us, he's going to keep us. Can I get an amen? He will keep us. So let's go to verse 10 on this. Look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. The fullness of times. Let me pause there real quick on that one. Fullness of times meaning all the Old Testament saints that were prophesying about his first coming. And then they prophesied about his second coming. Well, guess what? He came. And now we're in that fullness of time where he's about ready to return. We're that dispensation, the fullness of time, where he has gathered now those around the whole world. And we are now waiting for his return. How many can't wait to see him face to face? Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait. No matter what you're going through right now, physically, mentally, spiritually, economically, politically, I don't care what's going haywire right now. God is going to see us through. He's going to allow us to cross the finish line. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. He's for us. We just read in Romans, he's for us. Who could be against us? Who could be against us? Look at this. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth, in who? In him. We're in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. There we go. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So whatever is allowed in your life was according to his counsel. It was according to his will. Oh, that's right. Some of us are going through some tough times right now, but he's allowed that according to his will. Why? Because he sees that we will still bring him glory. We will still praise him. We will still glorify his name. We will still hold up the bloodstained banner and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Have you come to that place yet in your life that it's not about our will, but it's about his will? Because he already predetermined this in the counsel of his will that we can make it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. That's right. Look at verse 12 right up here. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also trusted after you what? Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, I don't have time to go into all the Greek and homiletics and everything regarding the word sealed. But in a nutshell, nothing on this earth, nothing in hell, nothing in heaven can unseal what God has sealed for you and I. Nothing can unseal it. In other words, it's done. Put a fork in it. You're forever His. Can I get an amen? You know why we can say that boldly? Because we were junk before He found us. And so He doesn't save junk to throw it away again. That's not how He rolls. He saved us to bring Him glory. Notice we're the only ones that are giving Him glory. The world doesn't give Him glory. Unsaved folks don't give Him glory. But we do. So why would He want to throw us away? No. We're His prize what? Possession. Praise God. That's what we came to die for. Listen, I'm going to share a quick story and I'm going to move on. In communist Russia, there's a lot of underground churches. Strong believers. Okay? And they've been praying for a worship team to come into the caves. Because they would go into these caves and they would meet there. Why? Because the communists find out you're there, they'll just break it all apart. Incarcerate you. Some of them, they'll even kill you. So they were praying for a worship team. Finally, a worship team showed up. And these men had two suitcases in each hand. And there was about maybe seven of them. They came in. We come to worship You. And so, as they laid their boxes down, they opened one. All of them opened one at a time. And they pulled out a machine gun. And said, "Those of you that are going to die for the name of Christ, stay here and die. But those of you that want to leave and run for your life, we're going to allow you to run." So half of them fled. And then the ones that remained and said, "Kill me. I'm here." They put those guns down and said, "You're the ones we came to play for.
Wow.
You're the ones we came to play for." So in other words, the make-believers ran. They had no relationship with God. And that's what's going to happen in this day and time. No differently. Hallelujah. Because I'm not going to run. Take me, God. You saved me. Take me, God. The enemy going to come like that? You're going to take me right away. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Man, God is good. God is good. Just imagine what kind of worship service that ended up being. Fully anointed. Hallelujah. And so God chose believers to reach a particular goal, to become like His Son. He is transforming us day by day to be more like Him. Aren't you so blessed in all that? Saints, when all believers are conformed to Christ's likeness, the resurrected Christ will be the firstborn of a new race of humans who are purified from sin. How many can't wait for that day to happen? You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, He became the first protocol. He was the first one with that kind of body, hallelujah, that'll never grow old, that'll live forever, has no sin. And so guess what? We are promised the same thing. And because we are God's children, we are Christ's brothers and sisters all together. It's a huge family around the world. The true believers. The ones that didn't run away. What does it mean to be chosen? I'm going to ask that question. What does it mean? I'm going to ask this question. Well, look at this. First of all, I'm going to ask, what does it mean to be chosen? What keeps foreknowledge and predestination from being what? Determinism. What is it? And then I ask this right up here. How can belief in predestination avoid leading some to despair over the futility of any human choice? That's a good question, isn't it? Loaded question. It is loaded. And you would have to break that down. But let me help us. God's foreknowledge does not imply determinism, the idea that all our choices are predetermined. Since God is not limited by time as we are, he sees past, present, and future at the same time. Did you catch that? He sees the past, he sees the present, and he sees the future at the same time. That's a mighty God that we serve. Only he could do that at the same time. You see, being a parent sometimes know how their children will behave before the fact. I've seen some parents that have well-mannered kids. They can sit down and just be still, and it's like, wow. And then you'll find some kids, you got to carry them out. They have no manners. They don't care. They're just going to have a Burger King life, having it their way. We've all seen that, huh? Okay. We've personally seen that. And so, saints, we don't conclude from these parents' foreknowledge that they made their children act that way. God's foreknowledge, in so far as we can understand it, means that God knows who will accept the offer of salvation. Okay, so the word goes out. The seed goes out. But he knows the ones that are going to say yes and amen. How many are so blessed to know that? Aren't you so blessed that you were the ones that said yes and amen? See, he already knew our heart. This is why when you leave tonight, know this, that we have a heart like David. See, David had a heart after God, right? Well, you're here tonight because you have a heart after God. Because you want to know him more. You want to be in his presence. You want to engulf yourself with God and more of God. That's why we're here. See, when you become born again, the Word of God, the presence of God becomes our spiritual food. And we can't live without it. I can't live without this. I can't. I would just shrivel up like a grape on a vine if I didn't have God's word. I need his word. It's nourishment to my soul. We got a new nature now. Praise God. And so the plan of predestination begins when we trust Christ and come to its conclusion when we become fully like him. And when we get that new body, we're going to be just like him. Man, just imagine, he's already predetermined what that body looks like. He already sees it in the future, what you're going to look like with that new body. We have no clue what it is, huh? But we believe that there is one. We truly do. Receiving an airline ticket like to Chicago means we have been predestined to arrive in Chicago. So I need you to know that. When you buy an airline ticket to go to your destination, you love going to Texas. We like going to Arkansas. Some of you go other places. Okay, when you buy that ticket, guess what? You're predestined to go there, aren't you? God forbid anything happens, but that's your destination. Well, God already predetermined before the foundation of the world what we're going to be at the very end of this human existence. And I'm very thankful to be part of that club. Very thankful. Amen. Amen. We're a people of hope. So let's move on to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Look at this. Here it goes. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he called. Whom he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these also, what? Glorified. And so, saints of God, to explain foreknowledge and predestination in any way that implies that every action and choice we make has not been only pre-known, but even predetermined by him. And it seems to contradict the scriptures, but nothing contradicts God. Can I get an amen? What is clear is that God's purpose of human beings was not an afterthought. It was settled before the foundation of the world. So before we were conceived in our mother's womb, before he spoke the whole universe into existence, he already knew us. Wow. Before everything. And you know how big the galaxies are, the heavens are? I'm talking about the second heaven, where the solar systems are, where the Milky Way is, where all the stars and moons and all everything in that realm. They call it the second heaven. Before he spoke even that into existence, he already knew us. How many are so blessed to know that? If he already knew us, if he already justified us and saved us, and he also sees us in a glorified state, I always ask this question. Why are you worried? Why do you go weary? Why do you still become sad? Know that this is but a blink. Our life is a blink. And we're going to be with him forevermore. Our suffering is going to be over. And we're going to experience this heavenly bliss like no other time in the history of your life. How many can't wait for that moment? Humankind is to serve and honor God. If we have trusted in Christ as Savior, we can rejoice that God has always known us. Look at this. Look what I found in John 17. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be what? One, just as we are one. Wow. We're going to be like Christ. We're going to be like them. We're going to be like all those that are in heaven right now, awaiting for us to be there. How many can't wait to get there? Amen. Saints, his love is eternal. His wisdom and power are supreme. He, Jesus, will guide and protect us until we one day stand in his presence. And we're going to stand in his presence. And we're going to get to see him face to face. How many can't wait for that moment? Because when that day comes, that means we're going to have our new body. And we'll be with him forevermore. Look what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians right up here. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Say this with me. God is faithful. Well, right there in the scripture says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. Notice we were called to be in fellowship with Jesus. We're called to be in fellowship with him. Yes, I'd love to be in fellowship with you and many others, but we're called to be in fellowship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit that lives within us. Look at that. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, saints, God's plan for the salvation of those who believe in Christ has basically three steps. Chosen, called, and glorified. Remember that. Chosen, called, and glorified. And when we are finally conformed to the image of Christ, we will share his glory. In that brand new body. We will have one just like his. So let's move on to Romans chapter 8 verse 31. And it reads, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about that for a moment. Think about what's going on in this world. Think about what's happened in your life at several times. Think about the times before you got saved and the near death experiences. I have many. I know you have. We should have died. And yet God said, I got a plan for you. God knows when to bring an angel into the situation that you cannot see to avert that outcome. We don't see with our natural eye. But guess what? He comes down to save our bacon. Oh, that's right. You know why? Because what we're reading right now, we can confirm it. We should have perished. We should have died. But we've been chosen by Him. And if we've been chosen by Him, He wasn't going to allow us to die back then. And He's got a mighty plan for us just yet, before He comes for us. You see, saints, Satan and those under his power are totally against us. We know that. But in the end, God promises you and I victory. So I want you to always remember this. Whenever you come to a place and you go, oh, woe is me. Whenever you come to a place where you just want to have yourself little pity party. When you come to a place and say, oh, wow, man, I'm having a horrible day. Why, God? Okay, so some of you never been there like that, huh? Okay. I need you to turn to this verse of scripture. I remember Pastor Rod sharing this with me many years ago. He goes, no matter what comes your way, if you turn to this verse of scripture and just read it and keep reading it and let it get into your spirit, guess what? God will lift you wherever you're at from that horrible dark place and translate you into His light. It's right up here. Psalms 91. Look at this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely, look at this, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Look how many of us He delivered from COVID. That terrible pestilence when it came. Delivered us. Look at this. Verse 4. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by the day. Look at this. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. You got to be determined that God keeps us from these things. That God protects us and watches over us. Can I get amen? And there's more in Psalms 91 if you read the rest of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. But it brings us encouragement. It brings us insight that God is for us. That He's our shield and buckler. And guess what? He will protect us from the evil one. And so how much is God for us? So much that He did not spare even His own Son, but gave us to us. What? If He gave us His only begotten Son, how much is God for us? Huh? Our major struggle with prayer is not that God doesn't answer. What upsets us is that He seldom answers in line with our plans or schedule. We have an agenda sometimes that is not His. Can I get an amen? Amen? And so at those times We may think God is intentionally withholding something from us, but no. Listen, when he's silent, stop murmuring and complaining and just be silent with him. Can I get an amen? He'll show up. He'll answer. He'll defend us. He'll speak on your behalf. He will protect us. He'll watch over you. He'll supply all of his needs according to what? His riches and glory. And so let's move on to Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Did it say some things? Everything that he promised us, he's going to deliver. It first started salvation. And once we got saved, God gave us now understanding of who he is. And he's gracious to us to learn day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, on who he is in your life. Because it didn't come overnight, did it? It didn't come overnight. God is spending that much time so that we can know who he is. Thank God it's not a crash course. But it's a life course. We're going to go through the course of life. And the course he has charted out for you is tailor-made for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is tailor-made for you.
It is tailor-made for you.
That's right. This walk is tailor-made for us. I can't walk where you walk. You can't walk where I walk. But he has charted it out for us, hasn't he? There are some things we can bear, and there are some things we can't bear. Men, I don't know what this society is trying to do, this total godless agenda on trying to impregnate a man to have a kid.
What?
Yes. You didn't know that? Hello, where you been? Yes. There's an agenda to implant so that a male can bring forth a child. That's how wicked they've become. You've heard of that. Oh, yeah. It's crazy. But, yes, but God is not going to allow all the... Okay, I need you to catch this right now, because God just gave me these spiritual lenses to put on right now. That what I just mentioned is no different than those who were building the Tower of Babel.
Yeah. Exactly.
Trying to play God. I want to be like God. I want to change his DNA. I can be like him. I want to make it better. And that's what's happening. And so what did he had to do? He had to come down and change their speech, right? And scatter them. Well, this time he's not going to do that. He's going to destroy the wicked. I shared last night at the men's study. By the way, it was a great Bible study, brother. And the men came out. They came out. They showed up. Praise God. Oh, yeah. And so was Sister Yolanda's tostadas that she made for us. They were the bomb. But what I shared last night was, during our little time we had here, all the dark, gross sin where the wickedness won't turn to God no more.
Evil.
The evil won't turn to God. And so there's only one way to deal with it, is he has to burn it all. That's how he's done it in the past. He just lights it on fire and it's gone. All the wickedness is gone. All the filth is gone. He melts it all. And that's what's coming our way. And this is why we got to pray. I'm going to ask this question. to all those who are listening and for us that are here. Could this Feast of Trumpets be the one that takes us home? And it's going to be in the first couple of days in October. It's going to fall in October. I think it's October 2nd and 3rd. It's the Feast of Trumpets. Sometimes it's like early September. Sometimes it's mid. That's because we're not, the biblical calendar is not on our Gregorian calendar. God's calendar is precise. And it always falls on Tishri 1 and 2 with the new moon. So every time there's a new moon, remember that. A new moon, and it falls on Tishri 1 and 2. That is the Feast of Trumpets. Could it be this is the one he takes us home? I don't know. We've been waiting every year, huh? Oh, Lord, is this going to be the one? Oh, God, is this going to be the one? Or do we keep going to Maranatha Chapel to have a lunch?
Dinner.
Until he comes. I guess until he comes, huh? You see, saints of God, he's already given us the greatest gift. If he doesn't give us any more gifts, he's already given us one, and that is Jesus.
Amen.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That alone is enough for me. Look what I found in Scripture here as I was putting this together. In John 3, look at this. Very familiar Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Look what he also, you know, we read that, but we forget the next verses of Scripture. Look at 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. That's us. Say that. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not condemned.
You're not condemned.
Because we believe in him, right? But look at this. But he who does not believe is condemned already. This is what you have to tell the unbelievers. You know, I can't condemn you. You're already condemned. You're already walking in death row. You are walking on death row. I'm giving you good news that you don't have to walk on death row. So there's ways to approach unbelievers. And one of them is right here. You show them in Scripture that you're condemned already. You were conceived in your mother's womb, and you're condemned to die unless you believe in the only one that can save you. So look at this. Let's read that again. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe it is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is what we see today. Their deeds are evil. Look at verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Listen, I don't know if you caught last week, the DNC convention. They had portable outside of that venue. They had portable abortion clinics and vasectomies.
24 babies died.
24 babies were murdered.
Well, I meant murdered.
24 went in there to kill their babies. Jesus help us. Jesus help us. And by the way, I had a really good talk the other day. Yolanda was in the kitchen with me when he called me. Brother Donald Perkins. We had a great talk. He's having his prophetic next month. I got the flyer. I'm going to post it up Sunday. He asked for Leah to sing again, and so I gave him Leah's number. She keeps changing it, so I keep giving it to him. We had a great conversation, and we're convinced that judgment's coming to this nation. We're convinced. And what happened to Israel yesterday, look out for what may be coming our way. Okay, you guys remember in the news when the Mossad, which is the CIA of Israel, they came in and they took out those head Hamas guys, and they even killed one in Iran. The Biden-Harris administration sent a convoy to Iran and ratted on the Mossad. Why did they do that? They did it for one purpose, because they are the Biden-Harris administration is mad because they can't control Israel from taking their enemies out under their control. In other words, coming to them first. And so the agenda behind the whole thing is the Harris-Biden, they want to go in and convince Iran, to convince Hamas to let the captives free, the ones that were held hostage, so that they can say, look what we did before the election. Look what we did. We got the hostages out. Yes. So they narked. They went in there and ratted. And now those spies for the Mossad, their life is in danger now. My.
No wonder Biden's on the beach. He's gonna backfire.
It's gonna backfire big time. Big time. And here's the thing. The way this country's going, God's going to allow it to be unleashed here. So right after that incident happened, Putin went on record. He goes, we're about ready to nuke NATO and the U.S. I'm telling you, when the Ezekiel war starts, Ezekiel 38, 39, there's a country that's in the Isles. It's called being in the Isles. Many believe that's us. Many believe that U.S. is going to get chastised and punished before the tribulation. Before the tribulation. Because we're in the global way. So, here's another thing. Why do you think they don't want Trump to win? Because he's not a globalist. He wants America to prosper. So guess what? The 10 countries that look at him, they don't want him there. The Marxist, fascist, communists, progressives don't want him there. What do you think? They try to assassinate him. They're trying to get rid of him. They a new indictment this yesterday. Why are they trying to get him out of the way? So if he wins, you could look at something coming to this country. Because China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, Cuba, they want to pounce us. And we're in the globalist way. And now let's look at another aspect. If Harris wins, God's still going to bring a judgment, because now it's going to get even darker. So you got the two evils there. You got one that doesn't want to be a globalist, and you got another one that's promoting all this evil agenda. Pick your poison. It's basically pick your poison. Wow. We're living in some serious times.
Almost like Ahab and Jezebel again.
Yes.
The king and the queen.
Wicked and evil. Wicked and evil. Wow. So let's move on to verse 33 of Romans chapter 8. And it says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He justified us at the cross because of the blood, because of faith, because we've been born again, because now we're washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we're sealed with Him. Can I get an amen? So if God did not withhold His Son, and if God will give us everything to make us complete, will God then accuse us? No, that's not how He rolls, does it? Paul's emphatic answer is no. God is the one who has given us right standing with Himself. And He's also the judge who has already declared us not guilty. Aren't you so blessed? So if He justifies, I got 4 points right up here. Look at this right up here. Number one, justification comes apart from the law. That is, we cannot earn justification through rule keeping or our own good works. Did you catch that? You see, there are denominations that believe that God can just take your salvation and send you to hell. That's called Arminian, the Arminian doctrine. And I used to always hear this preached time and time again. And I used to say to myself, why is there so much condemnation here? Wait a minute. I was a toe up from the flow up sinner, and then He saves me. And now He wants to just batter and tatter me and wring me up and throw me away. Listen. Man has all these rules. And God said, I've justified you through My Son by the blood. Because we still live in a body of flesh. We still have this sinful mind that thinks of all kinds of junk. You ever try to get on your knees and pray and all this junk comes out of nowhere? The dog starts barking, the doorbell rings. Today, I was putting the last touches of this. I had to turn my phone off. People just calling me, coming to the door, knocking. Oh my gosh. Yolanda was doing errands. And I go, oh my gosh. I had to just turn everything off, because if I don't, I wouldn't be able to put this study for us today. But that's the enemy. And our own mind gets in the way. And so we're not justified by our good works. Our good works, when you do good works for God, it's what He's already done for you. And in you. Now you want to do good. It's not to get points with Him, because we can't earn nothing from Him. He's already done the work. Look at number two. Justification is made possible in the sacrificial death of Christ. It is based on the shed blood of Christ. That's what justifies us. It's the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look at number three. Justification is the free and gracious gift of God bestowed on those who receive by faith the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So when you come to the Lord, you embrace and you receive that He died for you and rose again for you. There was nothing we could do but believe. And say, oh God, You did this for me. I believe You did this for me. And then He pardons you. How many are so blessed to know that He pardons you? Man. I shared this before, and I'll say it again. On this screen right here that you're seeing, if God were to put all of our sins, our present sins in our mind, on this screen, I'd be the first one to beat you out the door. I'd be gone. Look at this, number four. Justification demonstrates the righteousness of God. God is righteous. God is holy. God is gracious. God is good. God is merciful. Aren't you so blessed? He had mercy on us. And I've come to an understanding, a conclusion, that we don't deserve any of this. If you think you deserve it, think again. We deserve death. And yet he chose to give us life. And so, we're coming down to our last verse of scripture found in Romans, chapter 8, verse 34. And it reads, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes what? Intercession for us. So my question is, who's the one that's condemning us?
The devil.
The enemy to the cross. And that's why Paul wrote in the Romans, we read it already earlier, that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. See, before we were condemned, right? We just read in John that we come into this world already condemned. But since we believed and received him, the condemnation has lifted. Now we got freedom. Now we got eternal life. Now we got God's grace and mercy. Now we are heaven bound and a hell to shun. How many are so blessed to know that? Just to even conceive that in your mind. Knowing that we will never see the flames of hell. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. So saints, so who then will condemn us? Will it be Jesus? For we surely have offended him. Yes, we have. But Paul says no. It won't be him, for he is the one who died for us. He's not going to condemn you after he died for you. To condemn us would then make his death of no value. Jesus would not condemn those for whom he died for. And aren't you so blessed he died for you? Aren't you so blessed that he died? I thank God every day he died for me. I wake up, thank you, God, that you took my place. I should have been on the cross. I deserve that. But instead, Jesus, who was raised to life for us, is at God's side pleading for us in heaven. What? He's praying for us. He's not condemning us. Look what King David wrote right up here in Psalms 110:1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. What? Look at Mark 12. Look at Mark 12:35. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how is it that the scribes say that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. But who's the ones that didn't hear him gladly? The scribes, the Pharisees. It was the religious people. And there's a whole lot of churches that are very religious. Very religious. Watch out for the ones that have membership. you got to fill out a whole, like an application to join their church. And as soon as you your tithing stops or comes short, they be calling you. What? Oh, yes. Help us, God. Help us, God. I'm going to close with this scripture in Hebrews. Look at this. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Meaning, always be ready to confess who he is in your life. For we don't, look at this. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that God is for us, not against us? I'm hoping that this Bible study not only spoke to us, but maybe to those who are watching right now. Maybe you've never come into that covenant with God. You see, we have more than just a relationship with the Lord. We have a covenant. And that covenant was through his blood. We have a blood covenant with God. He spilt his blood on the cross so that you and I can live forever. And once we received him by faith, he washed us in that same blood and has filled us with the Holy Spirit of promise. What about you that's watching right now? Have you come to that place? Have you come to that place where it's time now to surrender? Maybe you just logged on. Maybe you were just surfing the web. And maybe you were typing in the word amazing or the word grace. And then our website popped up. And now you're listening to us right now. Maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit has kept you there to hear this message. Well, guess what? He kept you because he wants to save you. He wants to save you. And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can enter into an eternal covenant with God, that God will give you eternal life, that when this body comes to an end here on earth, we will forever be with him. The Bible is clear: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What about you? Well, pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Man, is he worthy? He is so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.